Hi, and a warm welcome to today's Mummer of Many podcast. I'm Christine Field, and I pray we will press in together and lay hold of everything that the Father has to say and impart to our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Kingdom living now. Let's go. Hi, welcome to Mama of Many today. I'm Christine and I am raring and ready to take a deep dive with you into all that the Lord will have us to draw today. I believe this word from heaven is going to be transformative, is going to be revelation means to reveal. The Lord is about to reveal in order, I believe, to set you free from some very wrong and negative thinking and living. And God is going to cause you to know today with certainty that the kingdom of darkness, all that is negative and dark that would come against your life, has been overthrown and overcome. As Jesus was in the world, now so are you. Jesus has won it all and done it all for me and for you. And he's going to, by the power of the Holy Spirit through his word today, unlock hidden secrets and truths for you so that daily you too can overthrow and overcome all the works of darkness, all of the authority of the enemy, and you will go free into complete victory. This week, my hubby took me on a date day. Has anybody else, let me know in the chat, if you've been to see Gladiator 2 yet. Well, hubby took me out for a lovely breakfast at the Ivy. It was all going swimmingly well. And then as part of his date day, we were off to the movies, which turned out to be, as I turned to my hubby through partway through the movie and said, hey, this is actually not a date day for me. This is more a Davy day for hubby. It was full of the blood, fire and the gore. But in the midst of all of that, the word of the Lord came through to me through Lucius. There he was, the son of Maximus, who was the hero in the Gladiator 1, and all about overthrowing the evil and the tyranny of the Roman ideology and captivity that the Roman kingdom was bringing its people into. Now, what the Lord spoke to me through this Lucius, and I found out from a good friend of mine that Lucius means light, because this great friend who went to see the movie a couple of days, she was telling me a couple of days after I'd seen it, she was off on a date with her hubby too. They'd actually, after Gladiator 1, called their son Lucius because of that very reason all those years ago. And so I was quite intrigued. Light. Lucius means light. Now, as I share with you one of Lucius's great quotes in the movie, as they went to fight in the battle against their enemy, the Romans, at that time, Lucius gives the command to all of his men and women in the midst of the war with him and said, where we are, death is not. Where death is, we are not. Whoa, that hit me. As children of light, Lucius means light. The kingdom of light has come. The kingdom of darkness through Jesus. Jesus is ultimately, he is the light of the world, the Bible tells us. He has overcome and he has overthrown all the powers of darkness. And what the Lord spoke to me, in fact, in 1 Peter 2 verse 9, it says to us, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. We are his kings. Kings have all authority. We rule and reign. And we are his priests. We are kingly priests, a royal priesthood. We are anointed and appointed by God to serve him, to minister before him. And as we minister before him, we are going to minister powerfully to the people. We're a holy nation. We are to be holy and set apart for him. We're of the king and his kingdom. We are not of this world. We are of the kingdom of God. We are his own special people and special treasure, that we may proclaim the praises through our lives daily, continually, of him who has called you out of darkness. Where's he called us to? Into his marvellous light, into his kingdom of light. For once you were not a people, but now we are the people. We are the family of God, the Bible tells us. We are the army of God. He has given us all authority on the earth. And we are a people who once had not obtained mercy, but as we've received the mercy of God, we can now rise and we can be all he's called us to be. So the Holy Spirit spoke to me in that movie, in that moment, and said to me, oh, Christine, where we are, death is not. Where death is, we are not. For Jesus, the scriptures show us he overcame that last enemy called death on our behalf, that we do not need to fear death. For when that time comes, the word of God tells us that he holds our times in his hand so we can live fearlessly. We are not going to live dying every day, living in fear of what could come our way, what disaster could come upon us. No, the word of God says in Psalms, he protects us from every evil work and he preserves us for his heavenly kingdom. We are not going to live dying, but we are going to die living. We're going to live the victorious life, the confident life through Christ. We're going to live faithfully, full of faith and fearlessly every day by the power of the kingdom life, the Holy Spirit that is within us, connecting us. We are in this world, not of this world. So Jesus has destroyed that last enemy, death, so that when the time does come, or if it, you know, could well be that we end up going up with Jesus when that trumpet sounds. I'm believing that's going to be happening very soon. But ultimately, we only go from victory to victory. We're coming around to 1 year since my mama's promotion to heaven. And I know when I was there at the bedside, wow, I will never fear death again. You've heard me say that before if you've been tuning in. This past year, the same with being with my dad 15 years ago, that he went for, without a doubt, mum and dad went from death couldn't get a hold of them, from life to life. And Jesus had overcome that great enemy. They went in complete victory, peace, and the presence of Jesus. And the angels were all around that took them. So, hey, I said all that because I just believe that the Lord, clearly, he wants to deliver some people today from that fear of that last enemy, death, so that you can actually stop living your life every day dying. But you can go forward knowing that you are going to be one day dying, living, because you will not die. You will ultimately go from life to life in Jesus' name. Receive that deliverance by the word of the Lord today. You will know the truth, God's word says, and the truth will set you free. So I'm rooting out that fear of that last enemy, death, from the lives of God's children today. It once tried to get a hold of me, a grip of me, and Jesus set me gloriously free. And I sense by the word of the Lord today, the Lord is doing that in many of his children too. Didn't mean to say that, but hey, you're so used to me just going with the flow of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit do his work in your life today. So where we are, death is not, the Lord said through that movie, Lucius, and Lucius's words, where death is, we are not. And then we went a step further. Where we are, lack is not. Where lack is, we are not. Has the enemy been trying to put upon you a poverty mentality? Do not wear that straitjacket over your life. I break it off you by the word of the Lord today. Where sickness is, we are not. And where we are, sickness is not. Gets better. Where we are, darkness is not. Where darkness is, we are not. For light overcomes the darkness. Jesus is the light of the world. His kingdom has come. He said, I confer upon you, he said to his own, the kingdom. We now a greater kingdom than the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of light has come. Jesus has overthrown and overcome the kingdom of darkness. As Jesus is, so are we. We are to walk everywhere we go in this world in complete victory, bringing the light of Jesus, bringing his power and releasing his authority, bringing his transformational change to your workplace, to your schools, to your universities, to cities, churches to nations. That's the reason Jesus came. Jesus came, he preached the kingdom, and we too are to go forth in his name, bringing his kingdom rule and reign everywhere we go. Wow, hallelujah for that, hey? Light overcomes the darkness and overthrows all the works of darkness. Jesus, our beautiful Jesus, he lights up all of the dark areas in our lives as we surrender to him and we allow his light to penetrate our lives, and we will be bearers and bringers of light too everywhere we go. It says in the Psalms, I believe, in his light, we see light. We are in this world, we're not of this world. This world is ruled and under the chains, I'm going to show you now, powerfully, of darkness. We don't need to see as this world sees. We need to see differently continually. We will see in his light, we see light. Let's be living from and seeing through his eyes. Let's be seeing with that kingdom perspective. And that is one of complete victory, love, joy, peace everywhere we go in Jesus' mighty name. How powerful is that? The kingdom of darkness is overthrown and overcome. And we need to know that. And we need to be a part of overthrowing and overcoming where the enemy tries to deceive that he's in control. We are going to go forth and we're going to see his kingdom come through our lives. Are you ready today? We're going to take a deep dive. This is powerful. You better believe me when I say it. This has changed my life as the Holy Spirit literally laid and placed this word on me. I was, wow, overwhelmed and overcome with his kingdom and with his complete victory for my life. And I believe you will be too, and for the lives of all those I come into contact with. So are you ready? Jesus says we read in Luke 11, 14 to 23, where Jesus had cast out a demon from a man who hadn't been able to speak from birth. And it says but in verse 15, but some of them said, oh, Jesus, he casts out demons by Beelzebub, by the devil, by the ruler of demons. Others testing him sought him for a sign from heaven. But Jesus knew their thoughts and he said to them, every kingdom divided against itself shall not stand, and a house divided against itself falls. There was that dirty devil he would have been shaking in his boots. For the first time ever in the Old Testament, you didn't see, other than David when he would sing and he would appease Saul when he was being oppressed with the evil spirits. You didn't see, there wasn't the authority, the kingdom of God hadn't come and been released to overthrow and overcome the kingdom of darkness. But Jesus, when the demons were being cast out, whoa, Jesus was bringing in a new era. And I'm about to show you through the word of God here. And Jesus, basically, there was the dirty devil trying to take the credit and the glory, thinking, oh, I've got to keep deceiving the people here, that I can't let them think or know that what a greater king and his kingdom has come. I want to keep them under my control and under my authority. And the devil is trying that same deception today. And he had them thinking that, oh, it must be because of Jesus is under the devil's authority. What an insult, what an offense, what a lie, what a deception. Thank God for his truth that sets us free. And Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. And he exposed the powers of darkness and he brought his truth into the devil's lies right here. And I'm going to, here and now. Because you say I cast out demons by Beelzebub, a kingdom divided itself against itself will not stand. And then it says in verse 20, but if I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. That was the truth. The devil had no part in it. He had no authority. It had been stripped of him there and then. Jesus was overthrowing the kingdom of darkness. Every demonic stronghold, whether it was sickness, blindness, sin, Jesus could break that off people's lives. And they were able to go free into the destiny and dynasty that God had for them once more. If I cast out demons with the finger of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. that word, that line right there is so power-packed that I'm going to unpack it for you. I pray today by the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit that you will never be the same again. Verse 21, for when a strong man fully armed guards his own palace, his goods are in peace. But when a stronger than he comes upon him and overcomes him, he takes from him all his armour in which he trusted and divides his spoils. The devil has been stripped of all of his armour, all of his authority, all of his power against you. He has no authority any longer against you as a child of God unless you give it to him. Don't give it to him. He who is not with me is against me. And he who does not gather with me scatters. In the Passion Translation, verse 22 says there, but when one stronger than he comes to attack and overpower him, the stronger one will empty the arsenal in which he trusted. The conqueror will ransack his kingdom and distribute all the spoils of victory. Whoever is not on my side, whoever is not with me, is against me, and whoever does not gather the spoils of war with me will be forever scattered. Do you see that there? We are only called. Jesus has already won the war. He has won the victory. We are called to partner with our King Jesus and with his kingdom and to go and gather the spoils of war. What are the spoils of war? They are the lost sons and daughters. They are the souls that that the Father is calling home to him. They are the blessings that have been held up and held in darkness for you. I'm going to show you today, and the Lord wants you to go and get those blessings, go and get those, if it's financially, if it's relationally, if it's those answers to prayer. I'm going to show you today by the word of the Lord how you can go in to those places of darkness and you can take back those spoils of war. That is what pleases the Lord. For the finger of God, Jesus didn't fight. He didn't wrestle. He wasn't stressing to get the devil off that man. He just came and he said, if Jesus himself said, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, then surely, no without doubt, the kingdom of God has come. That same authority has been given to us that you, child of God, can cast out every authority of darkness, every lie, every stronghold of the enemy, not through your own might and power, not through stressing and struggling and straining, but with the finger of God, because the kingdom of God has come. So that leads to number one. What is the finger of God? And what does the finger of God represent? Well, let me show you. The finger of God, Jesus was talking about there, seven attributes that I'm going to release, but and the keys I will give to you through his word here and now. The finger of God represents the expression, number one, of God's power and authority. Just leave it with me. In God's right time, in his authority, like a parent, you mess with my child, let me tell you, and I find out about it. It will be sorted. My little Judah is 7 years old. No one will mess with my child. This mama bear, the mama lioness in me will arise and defend and go for my family and see them in safety and protection. How much more the parent heart, the father heart of God, that he knows we can't fight. Sometimes we're too weak. So his finger represents his authority and his power working on his behalf. And I sense the Father saying, those battles you've been facing, those impossibilities, oh, as you receive my word today, just leave it with me. wouldn't usually, they say whenever you're speaking, something I learned years ago is you shouldn't be pointing your finger, but I'm just using this as an illustration, okay, throughout this message, because it can seem very harsh, or whatever, but I'm using this as the finger of God to get this message across today. Number two, it means the finger of God represents the overthrowing of tyranny and the enemy. Oh, it was so gruesome and it was so gory, and it was so full of blood, fire and gore, Gladiator 2, that I thank the Lord that Jesus, as we see through the scriptures there in Luke, has overcome, has won the enemy. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. The finger of God now just points at you and me in complete, for complete victory. We are purposed and destined for victory. And against the enemy, he is overthrowing all of the enemy's tyranny against you. That we don't need to be struggling and sweating and shedding to the very bleeding out of our own blood. Jesus' blood was shed so that you and me can go free and receive today by faith God's complete victory. The King and his kingdom has come, has won, has overthrown all of the enemy, that all we need to do is to receive. The Lord said, the kingdom of God is at hand. We continually take from his kingdom victory. We continually take from his kingdom the miracles, the provisions, the answers that we need. As I am doing, I'm passing it on to you. And I want to say, oh, it is such a glorious breaking, breakout and breakthrough of God's kingdom realm in every area of my life that it's just too good to keep to myself. So I've got to be faithful and true to my King and share these keys and these truths with you. Number three, the finger of God represents the destruction of darkness. All the powers of darkness have been destroyed. The deceiver wants to pretend that he has some authority, that you need to be afraid, that he has some control, just like he did when Jesus was on the earth and was overthrowing and casting out evil spirits. He tried to take some credit. He tried to keep a hold and a footing in there. We will give no place to the devil and to his lies any longer. And we're going to do some kingdom business at the end of this. And we're going to ensure for your life too that the enemy is overthrown and the kingdom of light has come and comes today in your life in every way. Number four, it's the finger of God. A finger represents care and attention to detail. For you as the child of God, God's finger has come. It's come with his love, with his care, with his, a finger is needed if you are on a project and you need to give it some real attention and you need to get in there with some detail, then it's going to take not your whole hand going in there, but the real attention and detail comes through. I felt the Lord saying to me, oh, my finger, the finger of God, I care about every little detail of your life as my child. And I'm going to be making that perfect, making it right. Trust in the hand of God. Trust in the finger of God extended towards you. Number five, the finger of God. A finger represents creative and artistic genius. Our eldest son is an architect. When he does these intricate models of buildings and structures, I have seen him as he has so, it's been so intricate, the fineness of him just going into every little creative, artistic expression of that to bring the genius. Well, our creative God, he just speaks the words and creation was formed. And his genius, his hand, that finger of God, it represents his creative and artistic genius for you and all he is going to be making and all he is creating you to be. How beautiful is that? Number six, the Lord showed me, my finger represents my getting up close and personal. You see, it's personal. When the finger of God is pointing, it's personal. It's pointing at you. The time to favour you, the appointed time, the set time, my kairos time, from eternity, from the eternal realm into the temporal realm, this world for your life has come, is now. When the finger of God points, it brings about the right now of the Lord for your life. It's up close and personal. You have been brought near. And number seven, it represents love and tenderness, like a mother wiping the muck off her child's face or smoothing over. Sometimes my little Judah, he hates me doing this. He wants to go out. He thinks at seven he can go out to school and he doesn't need to do his hair, or he will do his hair and mummy has to come there and just start smoothing down some little areas that have been missed. That's what the finger of God does with love and tenderness in our lives. It's like stroking the forehead tenderly of your child. You know, I lay with my daughter quite recently. I do it often with obviously my seven-year-old, but she was lying in my arms. We're watching a movie just the other night. And as we just lay snuggled there, I was gently stroking her forehead. I was thinking she was appreciating it until she then moved my hand away and I realised I laughed. Us girls don't always like that, because she was saying, "Mummy, I don't want to have to wash my hair in the morning. I don't want you to make it all greasy." But hey, I had all the best intentions, right? But that's what God's intentions for you are. Good. They're to love you. But the finger of God is pointed against your enemies. It's against the kingdom of darkness to overthrow, to overcome. All it takes is you rising up, just like Jesus did now, because Jesus has given the same authority to you. And he says, just as Jesus says, if I cast out demons with the finger of God, that's how we cast out demons, with his authority, with his power, knowing that he's already overthrown all of the tyranny and all of the authority of the enemy, that he has already destroyed darkness. So therefore we arise in his power and in his might. But for us, as we see, the finger of God is there with love and with tenderness. And just as finally, that finger of God lovingly and longingly wipes away the tear from an eye. Oh, have you been there? I've been there, where the Lord has just come with his love and turned my tears into peace and joy as the Holy Spirit brings comfort. That's what the finger of God is doing for the children of God. So overthrowing the enemy for the children of God, saving you from all tyranny and all the authority of darkness, and bringing his love, care, attention to detail, his creativity, his artistic genius and tenderness coming up close and personal to you, for the time to favour you has come. Isn't that beautiful? So, leading me on to number two, because secondly here is, the Lord spoke to me from this word. Why is that often not our experience? Because there, Jesus, he would just cast out the evil spirits. He would lay hands on the sick, they would recover. A great and a very deep theological question. And the Holy Spirit came to me. I was literally resting. I was lying across the sofa on Sunday afternoon when the Holy Spirit came and spoke this to me. As he brought this word to my attention, he came up close and personal with the finger of God. He poured in his creative genius and he spoke to me the answer that I've pondered over this for so many years. So secondly today, I want to ask you a question. Is God's word and promises matching your experience? If not, why not? Have you ever wondered why you're not experiencing this same authority Jesus experienced, the same miracles, the same signs and wonders that the early church knew? Well, I'm ready with humility, by the Spirit of the Lord, to show you, just as the Lord showed me. James 1 verse 6 to 8 says, "But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. shouldn't expect to receive those miracles from the Lord. Double-mindedness. If you have one foot in the world, if you have any agreement with darkness in your life, then the devil has a strong hold and he can hold you back from receiving the fullness of all that the Lord has for you. And I'm going to show you today how you can be free. It says their loyalty, verse 8, is divided between God and the world. Who does the Bible say, Jesus say, is the ruler of this world? It's the devil. The world has been bound, Jude 1 shows us, in chains under darkness. And I'm going to come to that in a moment. Anything, the domain that the devil has been given is the domain of darkness. Anything of darkness, the devil has a legal right over. But a greater king and his kingdom has come. The kingdom of light has overcome and overthrown the kingdom of darkness. So you and me can live in his kingdom, can live in his free dominion. Freedom means that free dominion that the Lord longs for each and every one of us to enter into. We're no longer going to be bound. We're no longer going to be held back. We're no longer going to feel contained. We're going to no longer feel like, I just want to get out. There must be something more. No, because in the kingdom, life and the realms of the spirit, it's so expansive. I feel like I've got my learner badge on. And the more I know, the less I know. And I just want to keep growing in knowing him, loving him. When I say knowing him, it's experiencing my king every day, every situation in my life, and experiencing his kingdom breaking in to everything that would contain, everything in this containing, refraining world that sets us free to be and to experience all that the Lord has for us to experience. Wow, I need to get through this scripture. So we often don't have our experiences matching up with God's word and promises. It says here, because our loyalty is divided between God and the world. So there's an element of darkness that has a hold on us. And it says, and they are therefore unstable in everything. Wow. They are therefore unstable in everything they do. What a word. That answered a question that I'd had for so long. It brought me to a place of repentance, of examining my heart before the Lord and saying, oh Lord, just like David said, test my heart and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in your ways everlasting. Oh Lord, let there be no darkness in me. Let it all be rooted out and let my life be full of your light. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. We often have not because we ask amiss. We ask double-minded. We ask bound to the world and by the things of this world holding us back from the fullness of God, because the master and the prince of this world is Satan. We must break all agreement with darkness and this world. In it, we are in this world, we are no longer of this world. And that is the key. That is the secret to entering into dominion. You will know the kingdom, rule and reign, then of God in your life. You will know the free dominion that Christ with his life, with his blood paid for us to experience. And then we will walk in. This is what the devil doesn't want you to enter into. Full dominion, full authority over all the things of this world. They will no longer abuse us or use us. We will use the things of this world for God's glory. They will not have a hold on us. We will be people in humility and dependency on our King Jesus and his kingdom. How powerful is that? To receive the fullness of his kingdom, all of his miraculous release, all of his signs and wonders. We must not partner in any way with this world or with darkness. Come out from Babylon. Come out from this world and be separate. The church When Jesus said, I'll build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, he was saying, I'll build my ecclesia. That is, what Jesus is building on in this day is his called out ones. Woo! That's those who know they are called out of this world. They are no longer beholding, longing, worshipping, having idols that are in this world, but their one image before them, their one and only they will love, adore and worship is our Father, his Son, Jesus Christ, and the beautiful Holy Spirit that empowers and equips our lives for every good work on earth. I hope you're getting this today. I'm certainly feeling the anointing as I'm releasing this. I just wish I could be with you. I wish I could see you. I actually want to lay hands on you after this message. I want to impart that to you, but as best I can, I am imparting through the Word of God today, and we're going to see and receive that impartation as we pray at the close of this message today in Jesus' mighty name. The Lord has been breaking divided loyalties off his church in recent years and off my life. That's been my experience. We've been tested through COVID. Who are we going to trust? Who are we going to serve? Fear, faith in God, man and man's dictates, or are we going to put our trust and obey the Lord all the way? Through money situations, financial situations you can go through family situations, through church situations. God is breaking off divided loyalties to everything in this world so that your only loyalty will be in complete surrender to the King and his kingdom. It's key. That's the key for complete victory over darkness and every enemy. Hence why more, when we pray that prayer, more of you, Jesus, won't cut it, only all of you. Because if we say, oh, I'll have 99% of you, Jesus, as my King and of your kingdom, but I want to hold on to this here, this desire, this that I want in the world, this dream that I want for myself. If you hold on to anything of the flesh, anything of your soulish realm, of what you want mentally, emotionally, if you don't lay it all on the altar before the cross, then you are bound. The devil has that 1% is a stronghold over your life, and all he needs is a foothold to get in and to gain more territory and ground. So we must give all to Jesus, and then we're going to know. That's the life that the apostles knew. That's the life the early church knew, complete surrender, the life of power and authority and victory. That's the life and destiny and dynasty that Jesus has for his church at this time. Let not that person that holds on to anything other than 100% all for the call and cause of Christ not think that they will receive anything of the Lord. Of course, God in his grace gives to us, but we're going to miss out on that power-packed, full anointed life, fullness. That's my word for this year and this coming year as we go into 2025, fullness. That we're going to enter into the completion, the perfection, the fullness of the Spirit and of kingdom living and all that Jesus has for us. Jude 1, 6 to 7 powerfully illustrates this. And I'm about to give you another golden nugget. This is transformative. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode, God has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of that great day. That's speaking of those of Satan. Deep word here, but this is going to be transformative for you, that were cast out of heaven. And it says here that the devil and all the demons now, all the evil spirits, their dominion, just as I shared with you, I have to back it up with scripture. There's the verse. I got it. There's God's authoritative word that they were given. The domain of darkness. They're held in everlasting chains under darkness. The Lord spoke to me and he showed me, Christine, I want you to set my people free by the power and by the authority of my word. Because we can see here in this word that the key is if you have anything, any possession, if there is maybe a child you're not fully giving to the Lord, then darkness has a hold on that. But Isaiah 45 says that He has given you the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places. The Lord spoke to me and my husband, and we began to pray when the Lord put this word on me this week, and to cry out to the Lord that we are taking back. Lord, we repent of any agreement with darkness. We ask that the blood of Jesus would wash us and cleanse us. We even prayed back to the third and fourth generation. We cut off any agreements with darkness, because the word of God says that the curse can prevail to the third and fourth generation, but the blessings of the Lord are to 1,000 generations, should he tarry. All of the blessings, all of the financial finances, all of the spoils of war that maybe the devil had been holding because he thought he had a claim of darkness over us and our lives. As repentance is your greatest, I say many times, warfare against the enemy. It sets you free. It brings you immediately into right standing, righteousness with God, that you can stand in confidence and boldly before his throne, and you can stand in confidence and boldly against every enemy, and you can claim with the authority of the Lord your complete victory. So we took from those realms of darkness, those, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, all those pent up blessings, all that the enemy had stolen. Double for trouble, the scriptures show us, sevenfold return for everything the enemy has stolen from us. And because we've given him all of our lives now, and we're filled with light and there's no darkness in us. The heart of man is deceitful and desperately wicked above all else, the scriptures show us. So that's why we want to pray, Lord, I just pray by your Holy Spirit, be the light that shines into my life, and let me not be deceived in any way. We've seen already at the beginning of this message what a dirty deceiver that devil is, hey? So we want to everything to be brought into the light, and then we go into those realms of darkness and we take back the double for trouble. We take the sevenfold, everything the enemy has taken from us, right back to the third and fourth generation. So I'm believing for great blessings, great increase. You're going to see it over me and over my family, over our business, over everything the Lord has us put our hands to. For our hands are his hands, our feet are his feet, to go where he wants us to go. And thirdly, in closing and wrapping this up powerfully today, the Lord spoke to me in church on Sunday and said, Christine, from the altar to the portal. The key is everything on the altar, laying our lives down, crucified with Christ, as I say now many times. Then we are resurrected by the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, quickens our mortal bodies, and we live through the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit. And then we are ascended with Christ. We rule and reign with him as we walk out his word, his purposes here on earth from those heavenly realms and places. And the enemy no longer has any hold or authority over you and me. So I call forth the spoils of war. The battle is the Lord's. The valley of blessings is where we will live and draw from. For as Jesus said, if I cast out evil spirits by the finger of God, then surely the kingdom of God has come. He has conferred upon you and me the kingdom. I sense the Lord say as I prayed, the kingdom of darkness has been overthrown. The kingdom of light is come. Jesus said, if we do not enforce this, and if we do not take the spoils of war, as I read earlier from Luke, then those who do not gather with him, he's already won the war, Jesus, through the cross and through his blood. That's all we are called to do, is gather the spoils of war. And if we do not gather with him, then we scatter and we are not one with him. You and me are now a target of victory, multiple victories and blessings. Those who didn't keep their first domain are held, those evil spirits held in chains under darkness. The devil's domain and dominion, I'm reminding you now, is darkness. Ours is light and life. We release his kingdom. I release by the authority of his word the kingdom he conferred upon every one of you. In Jesus' mighty name. And just as David and I did actually in the car as we prayed just the other day. Wow, we're taking the treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places. We're about to pray now. And we took authority and we released all those treasures. and we released all the goodness that the Lord has for our lives. We're taking the spoils of war even to the third and fourth generation. Are you ready? Double for trouble, sevenfold for that which has been stolen from you. Let us pray, for the finger of God is pointing against the kingdom of darkness. It's overthrown from your life today as you say yes to the Lord, as you come to the altar of the Lord. For the altar, the Lord said to me, is your portal. The altar will give you, as you lay all on the altar, you surrender all. You will, just like Jacob knew, you will experience his open heaven. Angels ascending and descending, blessings pouring out, the windows of heaven. We're in the year 5785. In Hebrew, that one of the meanings of the number five is window. God has opened the windows of blessing, and the window, a door conceals, the window reveals. He is about to reveal himself to you, to this world, more and more. All of the earth will be filled with the knowledge, experience, the experiential knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, Lord, let it be. Let it start first with me and my family. Let's pray. Father, we come to you today. We thank you for your powerful word, your truth that has gone out to set us free. And we are now doing kingdom business as we pray. We are receiving your word today. You say, I confer upon you the kingdom. Lord, we receive, we bow in humility, in repentance. We repent of ever partnering, of any agreement with darkness and of this world. And Lord, we declare today, by the power of your blood of the blood of Jesus, forgive us, wash us, cleanse us. We will have no agreement any longer with darkness. We come out of this world. We are in this world. We are not of it. We are your ecclesia, your called out ones. We will live as your kingdom kids. Your kingdom come, your will be done in our lives, in our families, in our situations, on earth as it is in heaven, in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you that the finger of God is pointed against every enemy, and the enemy is overthrown. Darkness is overthrown and overcome. And I thank you, Lord, for complete victory. Lord, we take those treasures of darkness right now. All the enemy has stolen for us, from us, double for trouble, sevenfold return for all that has been taken in Jesus' mighty name, and a hundredfold in this life and the next of all our lives. All our children we give to you, all our families we give to you, all our finances, all we own is owned by the throne, not by us any longer. In Jesus' awesome and mighty name, we thank you, Lord, that you alone have overcome on our behalf, and we will give you all of the glory with our lives. Great victories in the days ahead as your power-packed people arise in your kingdom of light, in Jesus' awesome and mighty name. Amen. God bless you today. Until next time.